So excited to have Carol Miller back on with us today. We need that Carol checkup. This is Which Way Is Life, the podcast designed to help you live a healthier, inspired life. I'm Bill Klaproth, and this is episode number 87. Carol C.C. Miller is a positivity consultant. She has inspired millions to live life with maximum joy and passion through personal coaching, writing, speaking, and running her nonprofit organization, Positive Focus. Her simple mission, love this, to empower others to fully live, love, and laugh. Carol believes in seeing love over fear, health over illness, abundance over scarcity, and always peace over conflict. How do you like that? Last time we spoke with Carol, it was shortly after the election, so it's time for our yearly checkup. I've been dying to talk to Carol, so here we go. Carol, so good to talk with you as always. Thank you for being on with me.
You are so welcome. It's great to be here. And it was actually the day after the election last year that we spoke.
I'm kind of trying to forget that. Yes, but we'll get it. But we'll get into that. You're going to help us out here. All right, Carol, you know the drill. I always start the show out with the one thing. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Bring it.
All right. Can you share with us one thing someone can do to make their life better today?
Absolutely. And it's almost such an easy thing that people don't give it the credit it deserves, but it's to live in appreciation. And even if you're going through a challenge right now, there is something or someone in your life that you can focus on and focus on what you appreciate about it. So it may be that you appreciate you have a comfortable bed to sleep in, or that you have a warm house to live in, or you have a great partner. It's really up to you on where you pull those appreciations. But the more you live in appreciation, the more you're going to appreciate.
And we all have those little things, don't we? Right? We all have little things in our lives that we should appreciate.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of times we take so many of those things for granted that other people don't have. So when you are going through a challenge, it's usually best to go back to those things that we just take for granted. I have a family member who is on 24/7 oxygen, so I absolutely appreciate the fact that I can breathe on my own. And it's easy to take that for granted because we don't have to think about breathing. We just do it.
So true. Well, those are great thoughts, as always, Carol. So I wanted to catch up with you again because I love talking to you because you always lift my spirits, that's for sure. So here we sit in early 2018. What was your thoughts on 2017? So here's what I'm kind of looking for. I'm kind of looking for a look back from you and then a look forward. So my impression is 2017, in the era of Trump, it just seems like we're losing common decency and civility right now. It's kind of like we're kind of after each other's throats right now, sort of, especially if you introduce politics into any conversation or on social media. So am I right in feeling that or seeing that? And what's your general thoughts of what we've gone through the first year of the Trump era?
Well, I personally agree with it, but I think it's really important to remember perception, because there are people out there who are loving what's going on right now as well. But it does seem that we've taken a step back on just everyday kindness. And my big thing is when somebody's hurt is when they tend to hurt others. Whether your hurt is a physical violent action or whether it's hurting people through your words or your thoughts, then it's to look at those people and see where they're coming from, their hurt. A person who feels fully loved is not going to be unkind to others.
Hmm. So if you're dealing with that person that is hurting others because they're hurting themselves, how can we approach that person? Is it as simple as listening and not engaging with our point of view, trying to talk over them? I'm right, you're wrong, but just listening with love and compassion? Is that a way to deal with somebody like that?
I think the importance there is to really gauge how deep their beliefs are, because there are certain people who want to hear other sides. So if you can tell if they're just wanting to spew hatred or spew that they're right and that kind of thing, then whatever you say is not going to penetrate. And I just think of it for me, if somebody is yelling at me or telling me I've done something wrong and they're coming at me in a negative, fear-based way, I don't tend to listen to them. Usually we go into protecting ourselves most. We're not even hearing anymore what they're saying, and we're just going to defend ourselves. So you may tell me great points about what I could be thinking differently, but you're doing it in such an aggressive manner, I'm not even listening to you anymore. I'm thinking about how I'm going to defend my belief to your belief.
Right.
So
yep,
if we
that
can just
happens.
Come
yep.
to each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens a lot.
You're so right. So is it get to a point if you're with, because I have people in my life who I love, but we do not agree on politics at all. We're on opposite
right.
sides of the spectrum. So I've got to the point, I don't even bring it up anymore. So,
right.
And friends too. It's just not worth it because we agree on so many other things. And for us to get into a fight over this one thing, I tend to just let it go. Even if they start in on, you know, how great our current president is and all the wonderful things he's doing. And I'm in my mind going, what? I just be quiet and I don't say anything. So
right.
is that
well,
the right way to do that?
You know, there isn't necessarily a right or wrong way to do anything. It's how you feel about it. Mm-hmm. So I personally would not engage with them because they are so set in what their beliefs. And I have those people in my life too, Bill. So I don't engage because I know whatever I say, they're not going to agree with, and they're just going to say the person that I like or the party that I vote in, they're just going to try to point out 10 things that they've done just as bad or worse. They don't want to talk about that one issue. So for me, I don't engage with them. I personally think the more we can send love, and sometimes sending love to somebody is not physically talking to them, but when that family member of yours, Bill, that comes to mind and you immediately go into, I can't believe the way they voted or that they believe this, then you're putting your energy into fear because of them. So just send them love and do whatever you can to return to your own space. Because it's
so
really,
send,
we can't
right.
control others, but we can control ourselves.
Okay, so that's so good to remember, and it's sometimes you forget that, but you're right. You can't control anybody else. All you can control is yourself. So such a great point. And sometimes it's hard to remember that, but try to remember that because that's really important. So, Carol, does it make sense to look back at 2017 and ask ourselves, okay, let me review my year last year. What worked? What didn't work? Or maybe look at it as in, okay, last year, what brought me joy or happiness and what didn't, and try to do more of the things that brought us joy. Is it good to take kind of a look back at last year and do that? Does that make sense?
I think it's always good to assess. Now, when I'm working with clients, I always try to find out if there's somebody, if they have 10 things on their to-do list and they've only done 9, are they focusing on the 9 that they did, or are they the person who's focusing on the 1 that they didn't do? So if taking that assessment is going to help move you forward, then absolutely look back. If it's going to make you feel stuck and you just go into complaining and blaming and shaming yourself that you didn't do more last year, or then it's not going to be as helpful. But you're going to want to do something that's going to move you forward. And just what we were talking about on trying to be aware of sending love when you get into those spaces. It's easy in that moment to forget. You know, when things are going well for us, it's so easy. Like, I love you. You're wonderful. So be gentle with yourself if you do have an argument with somebody because you so passionately disagree. That is normal. I don't know that we're ever going to get completely away from it. But when you have the argument and then you step back and it's like, oh, I should have just sent them love. What did I do? And now you're beating yourself up, continuing that negative energy is just going to perpetuate more of it. So the more you can be gentle with yourself and know whatever you did last year, if you look at the joy that it brought you or maybe the sadness that it brought you and move forward from there and enhance upon it rather than better it. I like to use the word enhance rather than better.
Mm-hmm. Enhance. I like that. I'm going to write that down. All right, everybody listening, write that down. Start using enhance instead of better. That's good. So in 2018, then, as we move through this year, are there certain things we can do to make sure that we send more love, that we live a more joyful, grateful, mindful 2018? And do you have simple steps that can remind us every day to do that?
Absolutely. The first step would be when you first get up in the morning, is think of things you appreciate. Get your mindset in a state of appreciation. And do that before you go to bed, too. I encourage people really not to watch the news. But if you're going to watch it, don't watch it right before you go to bed, where you're putting all that chaos into your sleeping pattern.
Oh, God, yes. So the first... Yikes. Especially those of us that live in Chicago, right, Carol? Yikes.
Exactly. It's not going to bring any restful, peaceful sleep to you watching the news and turning the lights off. Mm. So go into appreciation. Absolutely. Be gentle with yourself. And I think it's really key because I'm diligently focused on being positive and kind and compassionate. I promise you, I get angry. I get frustrated. I get sad. But because of the work I do, I focus on knowing how long I need to be there. You know, if I've lost a family member, obviously my sadness is going to last longer than it would because I hurt myself or whatever. So the more you can focus and remind yourself through awareness, it's like, oh, how does that feel? Does it feel good to be angry? Does it feel good to be mad at what's going on in the world? And if it feels good, then that's your choice to stay there. But most likely, the more you start paying attention to how your body feels and how you feel when you get so frustrated with those people who disagree with you, you're going to realize it doesn't feel well. So you're going to want to just simply reach for a better feeling thought. And you can do that quicker by being gentle with yourself.
Reach for a quicker feeling thought. Okay, so...
A better feeling thought.
A better feeling, a more enhanced feeling thought. Wait a minute. We can't use the word better. Remember?
Yes, you are correct.
See, I'm a good student, Carol. I'm right in the front row, always trying to raise my hands while you ask
the
questions.
You're a good listener.
I'm a good listener, darn it. All right, so let me ask you this then. So how do we, that enhanced thought, are there ways to remember that throughout the day that's easy? Because, you know, we're all so busy and we're hectic and crazy. I've got to do this. I got to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I got to do this tonight. Oh, I get this weekend. And, oh, shoot, the oil needs to be changed. And what do you need now? It's easy to lose yourself and not remember. You get into that funk again. So how do we get to that when we feel ourselves, one, how do we recognize that, oh boy, I'm in a bad spot? And two, how do we reach for that enhanced thought?
Right. Well, and it's very easy that we just start getting into the mode where we're just almost on autopilot. And we can get on autopilot when we're in a good space, and we get on autopilot when we're in a bad space as well. So it really goes back to being aware of it and aware of how you feel. And it's a practice like anything. Like, I did not wake up one day and was diligent on being positive. And the more I practice it, the quicker it comes to me. So it really is about going into deep appreciation. Like, I get up and I appreciate that it's a sunny day. I appreciate that the rain is watering the grass. So I'm always looking at ways to find appreciation. When I get really frustrated with someone, and sometimes it takes a little longer than others, but I try to immediately go into what are the things I appreciate about this person. And sometimes in the moment, I'm like, I can't think of anything. This is driving me crazy. So then I think of all the other relationships in my life that are much easier to deal with. So it really, any situation, you know, I can't control what's going on in the world right now, but I can control how I act to it and react to it. And the more I can be proactive in being kind and being compassionate and being loving, the less I react to the anger and the unkindness and the hostility.
Ooh, that's good. I like that. So be proactive in your kindness. And I think you said something that I just wrote down. It takes practice like anything. So you have to remember this and practice every day. Right.
Absolutely. If I could go to the gym tomorrow and be in perfectly good shape from one day of working out, I would be doing it. It's a practice like anything to improve your own frame of mind and your own mental health. It's a practice. And
so
go and focus on how you feel.
I like that. So focus on how you feel and then practice compassion, practice kindness, practice love. And Does it make sense to, because I'm always looking for simple strategies here, because I'm a simple guy, Carol. Does it make sense to, like, write yourself notes or, okay, at noon every day, I'm going to tell Siri to remind me to practice gratitude. And at noon every day, I think, okay, what's been good about my morning? What am I thankful for? What am I appreciative of? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that is a great tool. And I've done it where I put it in my calendar so it pops up. I would encourage you every 3 to 4 weeks to change the time, because we tend to like, oh, Siri's just telling me to be nice. And I know she's saying that. So I'm really not absorbing it because I've kind of stopped reading it because I've seen it so often. So just switch out those times. One of the things that I like to do is I come up with a mantra. And again, the work I do, I am so diligent, I don't get into that chaos as much. But when I do, I just go into my mantra, and sometimes I say it out loud, but usually it's just in my head. I choose peace. I choose peace. I choose peace. And what that means, it could mean leaving the room because I'm not going to, you know, engage with what's going on. It could mean I'm staying in the room and I'm being quiet and I'm just sending love and kindness out to everyone without physically saying anything. But it's bringing me back to peace. And that's another thing that I think is really important for all of us, is to be responsible for our own energy. I imagine all of our listeners here have gone into a room and have felt the heaviness of the room, and then they've gone into a room and felt the joy of the room. Well, mm-hmm. Each person brings that to the room. So what are you bringing to the table? Are you bringing your anger towards the people who voted for the person you disagreed with? Or are you bringing love and compassion to the table? So it's easy to blame the other person for what's going on and not take responsibility for ourselves.
More with my awesome guest today, Carol C.C. Miller, coming up. But first, I want to tell you about Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance. Yes, I'm not kidding. This is really cool. Health IQ can save you up to 33% because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, 20% lower risk of cancer, and a 58% lower risk of diabetes compared to people who are inactive. And these savings are exclusive to Health IQ. Now, you have to qualify by taking a Health IQ quiz or other lifestyle quizzes like the Cycling IQ or Running IQ quiz. And you can also get additional savings by submitting actual data such as race results from a 5K that you've run. And Health IQ doesn't just take this info and pass it on to an insurer. They are with you every step of the way, from interest to application through underwriting to the final policy enforcement. It's pretty cool. Now, by being healthy, you not only live a better life, but now you can also pay less for your life insurance. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/whichway. It's my show, Which Way? How about that? Or mention the promo code Which Way when you talk to a Health IQ agent. See how I take care of you. Once again, this is so cool. Check it out at healthiq.com/whichway. And maybe this is something that would be helpful too when I was talking about simple strategies. You recently had a blog post called Do You Have a Minute? And where you talk about taking a minute to regroup, re-energize, and refocus. Tell us about the Do You Have a Minute?
Oh boy, I don't even remember that blog. That's pretty good. It's really about re-centering yourself.
See, I do my research, Carol.
I'm
telling you, in the classroom, I'm sitting in the front row and I'm like, wait, Ms. Miller, hey, I saw this thing. And you're like, okay,
Bill,
okay, enough with you, Bill.
Pet?
Yeah, right. You're like, I don't remember that
were
one.
You
go.
You called a teacher's pet in school?
Yeah, I was. My teachers loved me. They did.
Of course they did. Everybody loved you.
You know why? Because when I come into a room, I bring joy and happiness and positive energy.
You do.
That's what I try to do. So, follow
right
the teacher's
there,
pet, me.
Yes. You are responsible for your energy. And I really also want to stress, being positive, again, does not mean you're not going to be sad or you're not going to be angry or you're not going to step into fear, because all of those emotions are there to serve us. When you're angry and you're focused on positive, then you're going to use whatever's making you angry to make a positive change, rather than If you're focused on fear, you're going to go into blame, shame, and complain if you're angry. But if you're really wanting to enhance your life and enhance the world, you're going to use that channeled negative energy and transmute it into something you do want.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was going to ask you this, and you were kind of just alluding to it, but I was going to ask you, you're always so darn positive. Do you ever get down? And you say you do. Do you, are you ever down for a long time, or how does that work with you? You're always so positive, and you have these ways out. Tell us about that.
I am rarely down for a long time anymore, but that's because I diligently work on it. I mean, I run an organization about it. I coach people on it. So it's in my face all the time. I will let you in on a little secret. Last year when you
secret.
Called me.
Oh.
Well,
I
when
want
you
the
called
secret.
Me last year. Okay, teacher's pet, sit down. when you called me last year, I had just stopped crying from the announcement of our new president. So I'm like wiping off my tears, and it's time to go back to the work I do. So it certainly, I get very frustrated and angry about how people are on either side choosing to be unkind to supposedly make a better world. So it's just, I ask myself, is my anger, is my complaining, is my blaming and shaming helping or not? And I personally believe that what I focus on, I create more of. So I just use that disappointment, frustration, and anger, and say, now what can I do to bring more kindness to the world? What can I do to bring more compassion to the world? What can I do to bring more love to the world? And I need to think about those three things with the people that have brought me into the anger, because hurt people hurt others. So if I can see them coming from a space of hurt, then I can be a little bit more compassionate, knowing that they're hurt. It does not mean at all if somebody has done something to hurt others that there aren't consequences to it, but I don't need to add to it.
Mm-hmm. I love that line you just said, what I focus on, I create more of. So if you work on compassion and kindness and love, if you focus on that, you'll bring more of that. That's really cool.
Absolutely.
Wow, you really know what you're doing, Carol. I got to tell you.
I try.
You're the best. You see, you're so darn
Thank you,
good.
Bill.
You're so darn good. And you know, I was going to say too, when I was asking you about, do you ever feel down and whatever? So, if you don't follow Carol on social media, do that right after this interview, because you'll get some of the greatest posts you've ever seen. And then out of the blue, you'll be like, there'll be this picture of the night sky and the moon. And it'll be a little caption that says, hello, beautiful. Right? It's just the little things in life. There's a picture of a beautiful moon out there, and Carol is leading the way. And as in, like you said earlier, pay attention to the little things. Be grateful for the little things throughout the day. And there is this gorgeous moon. You had a great picture of it, and you're like, hello, beautiful. I mean, it's really cool. Little things like that count and matter and can help reframe your day.
They really can, and it is the little things. I think so often we get caught up in the enormousness of what's going on in the world and in the United States right now
that
it gets so overwhelming.
Heavy.
How can I make a difference? Because I'm just one little person. But it is. It's just one little thing after another. And if we were all responsible for the energy that we're bringing and focusing on being kind, I'm not telling people who or what they should or should not vote for, but there is a way to be kind. You can absolutely disagree with people and be kind and be respectful.
So true. And I wish that's how we discuss politics in this country, is that would be great. Because I love to talk politics, and I love to hear other people's points of view. Like, okay, so let's talk about this. Why do you think this policy works? I want to know, why do you think this is good or bad?
Right.
And then, okay, now you listen to me, and here's why I think this policy is good or bad. And then, okay, that's great. Now let's go have a beer. Or, we're still friends and everything's good.
Right.
That's how I like to discuss it. But too many times, you're right, it gets into that. I'm right, you're wrong, your side's bad, my side's good. And it's like, oh, God, please, I can't take it. All right, so let me ask you this.
It's important to remember who you can discuss with. So it's kind of know your audience. If that audience is just there to argue with you and not discuss, then then I would choose not to even engage in that conversation.
Yeah, and there are some people that are so entrenched in their views, they will not even think about looking at your point of view. And that's difficult for
right.
me because I'm like, come on, I'm interested in what you have to say. Why are you not interested in what I have to say? So that bothers me. But that's when I need to choose kindness and I need to choose compassion and love. And I need to...
Absolutely, because I think it's so easy for us to blame the blamers and shame the shamers, but we're just joining them in that. I mean, if they've done something to hurt someone, there are consequences. I'm not saying, oh, I love you, even though you just beat that person up. But I'm not going to blame and shame them because that's just creating more of it. They have consequences. I actually kind of go with there's sequences to whatever we talk about. Some are consequences and some are pro sequences, but it's a sequence to what we're saying and thinking and acting upon.
Mm-hmm. So you were just talking about, you know, who am I? I'm this little person, but I can make a difference and how I feel and how I think and how I present myself to the world. So can you tell us about your free hug movement? Do you travel to different cities to do that? Tell us about that.
So I started doing free hugs 10 years ago, this past Friday, actually. And the majority of them are in Chicago. This past year, I did a Brace the World tour in Croatia where we gave out hugs in 4 or 5 different ports around the Dalmatian coast in Croatia, which was fabulous. So I started doing it. I had heard of the program of the free hug movement, and I thought it was a great thing for Positive Focus to get into. And I was not a hugger when I started it. I was terrified. But the more I did it, in 10 years, I've hugged thousands of people. And it's just a quick way to look at somebody and connect and let them know that they matter. And I think people, that's what we all want. We all want to know that we're seen. We all want to know that we're heard and that we matter. And I've hugged people who are celebrating birthdays and weddings, and I've hugged people who have just lost a loved one or lost a job. I've hugged protesters in the area, and it's just a really powerful and quick way to let people know that they're seen and that they matter.
It's such a it's such a great act, and you're right. It takes no time really, but it does really have profound effects, right?
Yes, it really does. I had somebody email me after the fact that he had been sober for over 10 years and was having a hard time and was going to leave work and go to a bar. And he came through and got a hug from each one of us, and he chose not to go to the bar. So it really is like just seeing people and showing people that you do. I mean, most of these people I don't ever see again, but to show them in that moment that there's somebody out there who sees you.
So important and such a good message. There is somebody out there that sees you. You know, I look at people sometimes and they're so worked up and they're so angry and they have this, that caring and lovey-dovey stuff and mindfulness, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't work. And I'm a tough guy. I'm a tough dude. And I go, you know what, dude, you need a hug, really. And you go up and give a guy like that a hug. And inside, they probably go, wow, that's somebody listened to me. Somebody heard me. Wow, that was really nice. You know, on the outside, they may not show it. But inside, I'm telling you right now, they would be like, that was good. That at least for the moment or for a little while after that, I might feel better about myself, or I might be in a better mood. So I think that's what happens.
Just share a kind word or a smile. Yeah. You know, it's people want to be seen, and we have so many people who are like living just on social media. And so just to be able to have eye contact with somebody and to say hi, even it's important.
So I guess that kind of brings me full circle to my original question of, I just feel like, you know, we're less civil and we're losing that common decency in this country. But after talking to you, I'm refocused now in that if we go out into the world and present ourselves with compassion and kindness and love, as you say, we're going to get that back. And if we all did that, more people would start doing that. And that's a way for we the people to maybe overcome what I feel is a less civil society. Am I right about that, teacher?
I absolutely agree. The one caveat I would have is it's easy for us to think the world is less civil because of our piece of the world. But, you know, there's 7 billion people out there. So imagine other places and not in your direct group of people that you hear or see that are mm-hmm. civil. So civility could very well still be the majority of what's going on in the world. Right now, that's not the focus in the media for sure, or social media, but that doesn't mean that civility is less than. It's just not. I always liken fear to a two-year-old toddler throwing a tantrum, see me, see me, see me, where love can just be quietly there for to be seen. So you might want to question yourself and ask, I wonder if the rest of the world, if there is more civility than I'm currently seeing. And the more you start appreciating, like really when you do see civil people and kind people, more of that, please. And get into that appreciation of that, and you're going to help grow it as well.
Great point, and thank you for pointing that out. That makes a lot of sense. See, I feel better already talking to you. See that?
Excellent. You can call anytime.
And I hope to you, my wonderful listener who's listening to this right now, I hope you feel that too, and certainly hope that you got something out of this, and maybe you'll go out into the world later today or tomorrow and present yourself with more compassion, kindness, and love. That's always a good thing. It's never going to backfire on you when you do that, right?
Correct.
Okay, Carol, now this is the last question. Now we get deep, okay? All that other stuff, now we get deep. You know what's coming.
Let's get to the real stuff now, Bill.
The real stuff now. So even though Carol and I both live in the Chicago area, I am a Chicago Cubs fan. Carol is a St. Louis Cardinals fan. So we have a little gentle ribbing back and forth here. So tell me, it's a lot of fun. So how are the Cards going to do this year? What do you think?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I think they're going to be pretty competitive, but they have not gotten a closer that I would like. So I'm a little disappointed on their off-season choices.
Yeah, it's been a little slow in the off-season. Not a lot of signings so far this year.
I know my favorite, Lance Lynn, hasn't even signed. I don't know what's going on with that. Hopefully he'll come back to the Cardinals.
Wouldn't that be something? Well, if the Cubs don't put a deal together for Jake Arrieta or Hugh Darvish, who knows? Maybe Lance Lynn would wind up with the Cubs.
No,
how about that?
No, Bill. No.
How about that? Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Lance Lynn on the Cubs. Yes. That would be great.
That would be testing my kindness ability.
That's right. That's right. I choose peace. I choose peace. I choose peace. All right. Well, Carol, so fun to talk with you as always. How can we connect with you?
You can reach out to me at carol@carolccmiller.com, certainly on social media, on Positive Focus or Friend Me, and just continue to be kind out there. Be kind to yourself and be kind to others.
So very true. That is a great way to wrap this up. And make sure you follow Carol on social media. Terrific. You'll love it. Carol, thank you again. I'm going to leave you with one of my favorite quotes, which is, enjoy the little things in life because one day you'll look back and realize they were the big things. And that's kind of everything that you're talking about. Appreciate the little things in life.
Love it.
Carol, thank you again, and thank you so much for listening. Remember to catch every episode of Which Way Is Life. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or my show page at RadioMD.com. And if I could ask a quick favor, rate and review the podcast. That way I get a higher ranking and gives me a chance to help more people, and that's what this podcast is all about. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcast. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. You can find me at BClaproth on Twitter. You can also check out the show notes page at RadioMD.com for all of my episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.